Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Vitalist Spark podcast. On today's conversation, it's a continuation of a conversation we had a couple days ago with Juan Salas. Over the last couple years, we've been integrating our relationship further and further with the Technical Assistance Partnership of Arizona, or as we call it internally, TAP-AZ. And we've been talking a lot about the projects and the organizations that work with TAP-AZ, but we haven't really dug into what fiscal sponsorship is and the different levels of fiscal sponsorship. And so that's what we're doing today. Joining us is Kelsey Otten, Assistant Director of Partner Engagement at Vitalist. She has this really cool role where she works not only with Vitalist, but she also works really closely with the sponsored projects in TAP-AZ. So she's going to tell us a little bit more about fiscal sponsorship. But first, Kelsey, what we always like to do on the podcast is have our guests introduce themselves. And you've been at Vitalist / TAP-AZ for about 5 years now. So hopefully people know you, but in case they don't, we just want to know who you are, what brought you here, a little bit about your background and your career path and how you ended up in the role you're in today.
Thank you, Sergio. And thank you for having me and the opportunity to talk about fiscal sponsorship with TAP-AZ. As you already mentioned, I have been at Vitalist for the last 5 years. Prior to starting with Vitalist, I originally am from the Cincinnati, Ohio, Northern Kentucky area. That's where I grew up. I went to college in Northern Kentucky, and I got my Master's of Public Health from Western Kentucky University. I had some time when I was first out in my career getting experience in public health. I worked at the University of Kentucky doing alcohol and drug prevention with college students and really enjoyed that opportunity to work at the individual level. From there, I worked in an opioid treatment facility doing case management in Cincinnati, Ohio. And that was, I think, a really great experience, not only to get that on the ground experience working with individuals, and it was in a field that I'm really passionate about, substance use disorder prevention, treatment, intervention. But also it gave me the exposure of working with many of the systems that my patients were interacting with. So when I moved to Arizona in 2019 and found Vitalist and a job opportunity with them, it kind of felt like the perfect fit because Vitalist focuses on the systems level approach. The focus is really on social determinants of health. And that was something that I'd experienced with patients, the need for the wraparound services and not just treating whatever the quote unquote problem is, but looking and trying to do an upstream approach and really that prevention aspect, but looking at the whole person. So I really appreciated Vitalist's approach to the work. So that's kind of how I ended up here. Originally, my role was working specifically with Vitalist and our programmatic directors as the program coordinator, which was really great exposure to Vitalist work. I got to work with each of the directors in their specific areas, which gave me a really comprehensive view of the organization's mission and goals. And then I think it was 2 years ago, I started working with TAP-AZ in this new role of Assistant Director of Partner Engagement, which was a really great opportunity because I didn't have much exposure at all to fiscal sponsorship. So it was a learning curve for sure. I think not many people, well, I'll speak for myself, working a little bit in the nonprofit sector prior to coming to Vitalist and working with TAP-AZ especially, I didn't have exposure to fiscal sponsorship, but now it is absolutely something that I would champion with folks in the nonprofit sector as a really great option and resource.
Thank you for that background. That's really insightful in terms of not only your work, but I think it sort of dovetails into what fiscal sponsorship is, right? It's one of those things that if you're in the nonprofit world, if you're out in the community, you might hear and you might think it, we know what it means, but there's some nuances to it. So if you can give us a general description of fiscal sponsorship, what it is, how it works, and what kind of organizations might benefit from a fiscal sponsorship relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. So fiscal sponsorship in, I think, Kind of the most basic way to describe it is when an organization offers the use of their legal and tax exempt status or their 501c3 status to groups. So those can be unincorporated entities such as coalitions, sometimes they're individuals or just kind of loosely based groups, or they can be incorporated entities. Maybe they're registered with the Arizona Corporation Commission, so they are incorporated as an Arizona nonprofit, but they don't have their own 501c3 status. That's where fiscal sponsors could step in and let that group utilize their tax exempt status. So then they're eligible to receive donations and grant funding. And that is then managed by the fiscal sponsor. So essentially how I describe it when I'm talking to prospective partners is an interested partner would become a project under, we'll say TAP AZ, since we're talking about TAP AZ, but they would become a program under TAP AZ. So it would be under the TAP AZ's 501c3 umbrella. The group would then come under TAP AZ's 501c3 status and then operate as a program under TAP AZ. Usually with fiscal sponsorship, there's a fee-based structure, which we can get into specifically with TAP AZ and what that looks like. There are also options for fiscal sponsorship if an organization does have their own 501c3, and I think there are opportunities there for groups to still benefit from fiscal sponsorship, even if they are their own 501c3. So there are many models of fiscal sponsorship. Specifically with TAP AZ, we provide Model A fiscal sponsorship, which we term internally and kind of externally in our documents as comprehensive. That's the highest level of support we provide. That is really in that relationship where the organization, whether, again, if they're unincorporated or incorporated, come under TAP AZ as a program, and we are running their accounting for them. They're coming under us and we're managing their risk and liability. We are doing their accounts payable, accounts receivable, or grant applications. We're applying for grant opportunities on their behalf. And then if the grant funds are awarded, we would receive them and then manage the grant funding in accordance with whatever the grant agreement is on benefit and behalf of the organization. TAP AZ is kind of taking on that responsibility for that sponsored project. We also offer a couple other layers of support. So Model C is the other fiscal sponsorship structure that TAP AZ provides. We internally term this as grant specific. So this is a narrower scope of work with the organization. To qualify for this one, organizations need to have their own 501c3 status so that they are managing the majority of their funding that's coming in. But the relationship is based around grant opportunities. So say an organization has applied for a grant, but wants TAP AZ to manage the grant funds, or maybe they want to leverage TAP AZ's audited financial history. We have obviously our board of directors. We have over $1 million budget. We meet criteria that sometimes larger funders or especially federal funding opportunities require. So maybe there's a smaller organization, they have their own 501c3, but they want to leverage TAP AZ's ability to maybe qualify for those larger grants. If the funding is received through the grant opportunity, there's a grant agreement in place, then that's when that grant specific relationship would begin. So TAP AZ would receive the funding on the project's behalf, and then the relationship in a Model C is based around that grant. So it's a very narrow scope of work. It's specifically around the grant opportunity, or it can be a contract opportunity. And then the relationship kind of ends once the grant or contract ends. The project is still approved under TAP AZ, so we can look for additional funding opportunities and then have like a new agreement if a new grant or contract is in place. But it's just a narrower scope of work. We're not taking on all of the project's work. It's really specifically around a grant opportunity. The third level of sponsorship that we provide is, we call it fiscal agency. And really it's, we're doing bookkeeping on behalf of an organization. So we're doing the invoicing and payments for them. This could be a good option if they need to be a 501c3, but maybe they need an interim accountant or just need someone to handle those payment processes for them. They should have their own accounting system and really be a more established organization. But we do try, I think, to kind of tailor the services available for organizations and meet them where they're at. So I always encourage people to, we have a form on our website so they can complete it. And then that results in a consultation with myself and our director of operations and accounting, Juan Salas. And then we just talk and hear the organization's needs and see if TAP AZ is a good fit and what level makes the most sense for them.
Thank you, Kelsey. No pun intended. That was kind of a comprehensive view of everything in terms of services that fiscal sponsorship could entail within the TAPAZY umbrella. Now let's go a little bit into TAPAZY. Where did it begin? How its relationship with Vitalist began? And why were sister organizations, if you will?
Yeah.
And how that support really helps us lean on one another.
Yeah, absolutely. So TAPAZY began before my time. I've actually been operating as a fiscal sponsorship entity since 2011, but we've really kind of been providing ad hoc fiscal sponsorship services prior to that. I think that grew out of the need that folks who are in the what used to be the St. Luke's Charitable Health Trust, but now is Vitalist, that organization, they're seeing the need for these back office services. We've always done capacity building work with Vitalists and really trying to help the nonprofit sector in that way. And I think fiscal sponsorship services were an outgrowth of that, kind of seeing that maybe beyond what is typically seen as like technical assistance or capacity building support, nonprofits were really wanting to maybe outsource or need additional support with the accounting systems or some of those more financial management pieces, which is how TAPAZY eventually came into existence. As you mentioned, TAPAZY is an affiliate organization of Vitalist Health Foundation, and I think that that structure, it just works really well for both of us. It's a good symbiotic relationship between Vitalist and TAPAZY, and we do see that with some other fiscal sponsors nationally, but it's not a common structure, and I think it would be really great for other funders to consider having an affiliate organization that provides fiscal sponsorship, because like I said, it pairs really nicely with organizations who are doing capacity building work. We have tried to really integrate the two organizations and the services provided. Like I mentioned, Vitalist does provide capacity building support. So we try to not just provide kind of what we typically think of in terms of fiscal sponsorship for our projects, but also try to provide additional technical assistance in building their capacity. So maybe it's working with them to learn more about what their fundraising strategy is and leverage fundraising technical assistance, or making sure that they're connected with additional opportunities beyond Vitalist or even TAPAZY, but what relationships can we leverage in the community to assist and further the missions of the projects? So really just trying to layer in additional support, go deeper with the projects beyond the extensive services that are already being provided with the financial and operations management.
That's a big part of your role, right? Is the
yeah.
stewardship portion of TAPAZY and its projects. What does that mean? And like you said, right, this is a more newer, I guess, aspect of the work that TAPAZY has been doing, whereas previously it was very focused on the accounting portion of it, the AP stuff, the grants applications. But part of the work that you've been doing has really been working with the projects to figure out what their needs are. You can provide that support to them, not only utilizing the tools that are available to you within Vitalist, but also outside partners as well. If you can tell us what that has meant.
Yeah, definitely. So the way I think of it, especially kind of based on my background, is I see it as case management for organizations, just because that's the lens I think that I bring to it. But really, it's meeting people where they're at and getting to know the organization beyond what their financial reports are or what is the information that they previously provided through the application process. So trying to frequently check in with projects. I'm kind of the point of contact for general communications. I always tell people I am not your accounting team, so I will gladly make sure that you're connected with the proper staff member. But I let them know, like, if you have questions and maybe you're not sure who to reach out to, because at this point, the TAPAZY team has grown and we've built out a really comprehensive accounting staff. But sometimes maybe it's confusing who they reach out to for payroll or who they reach out to for accounts receivable versus accounts payable. I'll be the person that figures that out for them and points them in the right direction. Beyond that, yeah, just making sure that the projects know that like we're here to support them in whatever capacity that we're able to. I would add the disclaimer that I can't promise the moon. And, you know, we have limitations on what we can and can't do for projects. And I try my best to be transparent about that in the intake conversations and along the way. we can't be all the things to all the people. But if it's something that we can't provide, then that's also where the stewardship comes in of maybe there's another funder we can connect the organization with, or, oh, there's a really great newsletter provided by a partner that lists grant opportunities, or, oh, have you attended this workshop that can help with board development? So kind of just knowing the available resources and pointing them in the right direction, especially because so currently we have 58 projects in the TAP-AZ program. So also just knowing like, oh, okay, so this specific project is working in housing, and oh, we have maybe two other projects that are kind of either directly working in housing or tangentially working in housing. Are you all connected? Are there collaboration opportunities that exist? So I think being that like connecting piece is a big part of what I see as my role providing stewardship for the projects and making sure that they don't feel like, okay, we've been approved for the program, we enter into the program, and now it is more of that transactional relationship. I just want to make sure that they don't feel like they're floating alone as an island, but know that there are other projects in the program and that we can get them connected with. We send out a monthly newsletter to make sure that they're engaged, or if there are like internal TAP-AZ announcements that they need to be made aware of. We host some workshops, although we have a lot of really great workshops that are already existing in the community. So we're not trying to duplicate efforts. We do try to refer out when we're able to. If projects have events, we try to make ourselves available to attend events. I think that's a big piece of it, is just like showing up and being there and being present so we can get to know them. And they can get to know staff too on like a more human level, because then that just creates more trust between people and they know me on a more personal basis and can more easily, I think, reach out. So
I've seen part of that aspect of it, right? We've had projects who call on you to talk through what their fundraising strategy should be, or where there's opportunities. So I think that part of it is something that's really important. And like you said, leads to a more deeper relationship. That's the part of it that I think your role is really doing for the projects, for all the organizations, whether they're our largest projects or whether they're just starting out, making sure that they feel supported. Let's switch a little bit and talk about those projects, right? What kind of organizations are there within TAP-AZ? And we keep referring to projects, so just for everyone listening, that's what we call them within TAP-AZ. Once an organization becomes an approved, fiscally sponsored organization, they become what we call a sponsored project. Those are the organizations that we're working with. What kind of organizations are we working with? What kind of scope of work are they doing?
We work with a broad array of projects, honestly. I mean, typically with a fiscal sponsorship relationship, one of the key components is, does the organization who's seeking fiscal sponsorship meet the mission and objectives of the fiscal sponsorship program, essentially? When we're looking at prospective partners, we utilize the Vitalist Health Foundation Elements of a Healthy Community wheel as we're looking at their mission and programming, which if anyone's familiar with the Vitalist wheel, it is health broadly defined. So we really have a lot of partnership opportunities there in terms of meeting that goal or service area. Obviously, we need to do our due diligence in the process. So the organization obviously has to be conducting charitable work if they're coming under our 501c3 status. So that is something we absolutely need to look at when evaluating, does a project kind of meet the criteria to become a fiscally sponsored project under TAP-AZ. In terms of the types of entities, like I already mentioned, depending on what level of sponsorship they're looking for, we can do anything from a coalition or an unincorporated entity to providing fiscal sponsorship to what I see a lot, I think, are organizations who have incorporated. They're an Arizona nonprofit organization, but they don't have their own 501c3. So they are incorporated, but not with the IRS. They're not tax exempt. So we see that. We do see orgs who have their own 501c3. I think fiscal sponsorship's an option for a lot of organizations. And that's where we can kind of like provide more of a customized approach of, okay, why are you wanting to engage in a conversation about fiscal sponsorship? What is that additional support piece that maybe you feel like you need? The other thing I want to mention is the relationship with fiscal sponsorship, at least the way TAP-AZ provides it, is there's no certain time period that the relationship exists under. So that's a question we get a lot. An intake call is, you know, is this like relationship in existence for a year? Is it a 5-year agreement? But we don't currently have any term limits. It's really based on what the organization needs. When an organization is approved under fiscal sponsorship, they sign a fiscal sponsorship agreement, which is basically a contract that identifies TAP-AZ's role as the fiscal sponsor and the project's role as the fiscally sponsored project, what those roles look like. And it's really that accountability piece. But each party is able to terminate that agreement. And we see that organizations might come to us for fiscal sponsorship, and then they eventually phase out because they've established their accounting systems or they feel more comfortable now managing it. Sometimes it's a step down approach where they move from comprehensive fiscal sponsorship to a more grant specific relationship. So there are a lot of options for groups, but I did want to mention that there's not like a specific time period that exists under.
And that's something that we've heard, right, is that for some organizations, they've used it as a stepping stone, right? So, for example, the ACES Consortium used to be a fiscally sponsored project, and now they're completely on their own. And then there's other organizations like the Arizona Coalition for Military Families who, as far as everything that we've heard, is they don't want to have their own accounting staff because having a fiscal sponsor allows them to focus solely on the work that they're really good at, which is providing services to those military families and service members, whether it's in the realm of mental health or connecting them to other services. So to each organization, we can help them in different ways to tailor that need.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Kind of meeting them where they're at with what their needs are. I will say that some things that I think are really important to have in place before seeking a fiscal sponsor, because we do have quite a few conversations with groups who are, you know, we utilize the nonprofit life cycles framework when we're looking at the organization's stage of development. And so we have quite a few conversations throughout the year with organizations who are really, and typically it's honestly with individuals who are really more in that idea phase. They have a really great idea. They've seen a need in the community. They want to start a nonprofit, but they're really at the idea phase of, this is what I want to do. And there are some like basic foundational components that aren't quite put together yet. When I think of like a fit for TAP-AZ, if a group is in that point, I always, always encourage them to utilize the How to Start a Nonprofit guidebook that's on the AZ Impact for Good's website. It'll really walk them through some of those foundational pieces of how do you build a board? What is a basic budget plan? What's a fundraising plan? Some of these really key pieces that need to be put together prior to starting an organization. And we're always so happy to have a conversation with folks, but even when we're considering bringing in projects, those are all pieces of information we need to know as we're assessing potential organizations. So I'd say if there's someone out there who is like, fiscal sponsorship sounds like a good opportunity, especially if they're not sure that they want to be their own 501c3, I would always say make sure to have those basic components already put together. And there are a lot of resources out there too that kind of walk people through how to do that. But that I think is an important step in the process.
And you get through that through those conversations is, well, I'm thinking about starting a nonprofit, and that might be, all right, well, maybe this is the right step for you, or we'll see how we can provide support to you. Can you tell me about some of the projects that really stand out to you in terms of really cool work that they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of cool organizations, so it would be really, I feel like, kind of difficult to highlight only a couple. It really runs the gamut, honestly. Like, we have quite a few coalitions in the program, and some of them have since offboarded, but we have the Arizona Diabetes Coalition. We have one of our newer projects is the Northern Arizona Community Dental Days Collaborative. In the past, we had the Arizona Dementia Caregiver Alliance, Arizona Falls Prevention Coalition, the Maricopa County Food Systems Coalition. So groups of folks, especially that represent different like institutions who are all kind of coalescing around an issue, but maybe there's not really necessarily like a backbone organization within the coalition, or they feel more comfortable having a neutral fiscal sponsor managing the funds on their behalf. So again, they can focus on the programming. So we have quite a few of those types of groups in our program. We do have organizations who are more in the startup phase. They're newer and they are seeking fiscal sponsorship for that support to kind of like get off the ground and up and running. The Bambi Fund is a newer organization that we have in the program that's been doing a lot of great work. They came to us as more of a startup organization and have successfully obtained some grant funding, which has been really exciting to see. As you already mentioned, the Arizona Coalition for Military Families is a longstanding organization that's been with us for fiscal sponsorship and just is doing incredible work in the community. Another example, I think, is an organization called Lily's Pad, which started with us for comprehensive fiscal sponsorship and has since moved to grant-specific fiscal sponsorship. As you know, they've built up their own internal capacity. They serve kids who are immunocompromised. So last year, they were finally able to open their own space. It's a play space for kids to go in and play as they have immunocompromised systems due to whatever kind of medical condition they might have. So that was really exciting to go be a part of last year. Yeah, it really really runs the gambit around the elements of a healthy community. I think we have orgs who are working in each of those elements. We certainly want to expand this, I think, but we do have organizations. We're not solely based in Maricopa County, but we do have some organizations in the Tucson area in Southern Arizona, we have a group out in Superior. We have a couple in Flagstaff, and we do serve statewide. So definitely want to make sure that our organizations who are outside of Maricopa County know that we are a statewide serving fiscal sponsor.
It's really cool projects. If anyone listening is interested in seeing what some of those projects are doing, we have some really cool videos of the work on our YouTube video on the Vitalist YouTube channel. So you can check out videos there. It's always a great way to highlight their work and learn more about them. Also on the TAPEZ website, you can browse through all the projects and learn more about all of them. Yep. At tapez.org. Elsie, you kind of gave us an overview already of the different types of fiscal sponsorship, but let's dig a little bit into what the requirements are for each one. So whether it's comprehensive, whether it's grant specific or fiscal agency, I guess if we can dive in, and organizations who might be listening and interested might be able to say, you know what, I meet that criteria and I might be interested and have a conversation.
Yeah, for sure. And I will also say we do have some info on the tapez.org website that kind of walks people through the breakdown. So don't feel like you have to take notes. It is on the website. But yes, so we have three levels of fiscal sponsorship. Comprehensive, like I mentioned, this is when an organization or an entity becomes a program under TAPEZ. So we are maintaining the legal and fiduciary responsibility for the organization. This is an option for any group. Definitely a really great fit for those unincorporated entities, or again, the ones that basically don't already have their own 501c3 status, though we do see some organizations who they're new to the nonprofit space, but they go ahead and get their 501c3 right away, but maybe they still really need that back office support. So we will see some organizations who utilize comprehensive fiscal sponsorship in that way. Then we have grant specific fiscal sponsorship. This is for organizations who already have their own 501c3. The relationship between TAPEZ and the organization is specifically around the scope of work for a particular grant or contract. So it's a narrow scope of work. Maybe the organization feels like they have pretty solid financial systems in place, but for whatever reason, wants to kind of outsource that grants management piece. That would be a good option for those folks. And for both of those levels, the fee structure is the same. So we charge 7% of any funds coming in for both comprehensive and grant-specific fiscal sponsorship, but the fee increases to 10% if it is a federal grant or contract. So I did want to mention that. And then the last level of support we provide is fiscal agency. So again, this is where we're serving as really a bookkeeper and are able to do invoicing, accounts payable, receivable for organizations. The organization needs to have their own 501c3, have accounting policies and procedures in place, really pretty well established in their financial systems, but maybe they don't have that ability to do the invoicing, or maybe they just want to outsource it. that would be a good option. The fees are a little bit less for that. So it's 6% of any funds coming in or 9% if it's a federal grant or contract.
That's great. And then I think one thing we've really not touched on yet, but a service that TAP-AZ does provide, and it might be really useful for organizations who could potentially receive, whether it's a federal grant or state grant, is what we call working capital. And one of those things, the really cool thing about working capital is that for a lot of these grants, they're based on reimbursements. So for example, you're eligible for a $500,000 grant, but you don't have $500,000 to go do all this work, right? Yep. And some of those reimbursements can take months. And so one of the really cool things that we offer to organizations who receive those grants is the working capital. So we'll front up the money. Yep. And then once those receipts are received on our end, then the work can be completed in the meantime, because I know that's a barrier for a lot of organizations who might be really benefiting from the grants, but they just don't have the working capital to really front up those costs.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, because I do think that's a great opportunity. And we actually had a really great example of that with Rehoboth. CDC is one of our projects that has grant-specific fiscal sponsorship. And over the last couple of years, we kind of reconnected with them and reminded that there is this opportunity for working capital with the reimbursement model. So that was something that they were able to leverage to get quite a bit of grant funding for the work that they do. So the key with that is there has to be a grant secured and in place for us to be able to utilize that. But yeah, it's definitely, like you said, a good opportunity for nonprofits that don't have that, the ability to front the money. So it's a cool service.
All right, Kelsey, I think we've given the listeners a great overview of not only the services that TAP-AZ provides, the work that you're doing to deepen those relationships with those specific projects, you know, really talked about some of the projects that are working within the TAP-AZ umbrella. What else have we missed? What else is there for the listeners to know in case they're curious? If they want to have a conversation, how do they contact you or any other TAP-AZ members?
So I think for anyone who is listening and is thinking, maybe fiscal sponsorship is for me, or they want to learn more, I think a great place to start is the TAP-AZ website, so tapaz.org. If you want to dive deeper and feel like either TAP-AZ seems like a good fit, we do have a tab on our website page called Become a Sponsored Project. So there's an intake form on that page. Folks can go ahead and complete it. Really, that's just gathering basic information, contact info, generally what type of entity you are, what kind of services or programming do you provide? And that kind of gives us an ability to really just prep for the call. So once that form is submitted, then you will go through a consultation call, again, with myself and our director, Juan Salas. And that's where we'll dig into where's your organization at in development? Why are you seeking fiscal sponsorship? What questions do you have? So that hopefully by the end of the call, any questions folks have about fiscal sponsorship are answered, and we can give them a better sense of, okay, based on the information we have, it seems like you would be a good fit for TAP-AZ, and TAP-AZ would be a good fit for you as well. Because really, it's a both and. We want to make sure that we're meeting whatever needs the organization has, and we'll be upfront if we don't feel like we're a good fit. And there are other fiscal sponsors nationwide. If we don't feel like we can fill the gap, we'll make a referral to someone else. So I think the TAP-AZ website is a good place to start. We feature our sponsored projects on the website. So there's an active projects tab on the menu. It's a good opportunity to see what other types of entities we're sponsoring. So I'd say start at the website and go from there. And we would be always happy to have a conversation with people and see if fiscal sponsorship is a good fit for them.
Thank you, Kelsey. Thank you for that overview. Thank you for joining us today on the podcast. Hopefully you won't be a stranger and we'll have you on again. We can bring on some of the projects and learn more about the cool work that they're doing. Hopefully the audience isn't understanding why we continue to push and talk about TAP-AZ projects, whether it's on the Vitalist Spark News or on our social media. Hopefully this gives them an understanding of where that relationship lies and why we think it's a really great option for organizations across Arizona. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.